It's Monday, May 12th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing part two from last week of our message titled, The Unburdening Messiah.
Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. The impression of that is, don't look to anyone else. It's me. I give rest. I unburden you. You're exhausted, aren't you? You're at your limits at times, aren't you? You're troubled by sin that no other ruler in this life can deal with. You're burdened by life. You're burdened by death.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
You will only come to him when you know what he has set out to accomplish. And at this point, Matthew did not want it known, or Jesus didn't, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And the first thing that's emphasized here is fascinating to study from the prophecy of Isaiah 42. And it's focused on his humility. Notice this. Notice the quote here from Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen. This is taken from the very first of the servant prophecies of the book of Isaiah, beginning at Isaiah chapter 42:1. And what that's describing is the breaking in, the glorious description of God's kingdom coming in history with the Messiah. When would it come? What would it look like? Everyone look to this. Behold my servant whom I have chosen to redeem Israel and the coastlands of the Gentiles. That's what Isaiah says. The powerful kingdom of God is described in Isaiah 42, but it's described by a suffering servant, a warring suffering servant, no doubt. But notice the behold is interesting. It's an interesting word here, even back in the Hebrew in Isaiah. It's a fascinating word that was used. It was a device to say, really want you to pay attention right now. If any of you are sleeping, that was a bad moment for you. I really want you to pay attention. Listen up. Consider my servant whom I have chosen. That's the greatest election in history. Here's my servant whom I, my elect one, the chosen one. What a moment. This is the one my soul is well pleased in. Now, this is crucial. Where was that said of Christ? Where was this identified? Well, it was identified at his baptism. He was identified. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Can you imagine? This is just unbelievable to think about. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I'm well pleased." What do we have here? The Father is speaking here, and he's introducing his Son. The Messiah who has come to the earth. The Father has introduced and declared his Son. The Father has. And then the Spirit falls. Our triune God. All of that happened at his baptism. And now Matthew begins to showcase him as much greater than the Son of David, as the greater Son of David, if you will. And what would you expect of him? Why are the religious leaders wanting to kill him?
Well, Matthew grabs Isaiah 42 at this moment. And it's as if he says, you should have been able to identify him by now. I put my spirit on him so that he would declare justice to the Gentiles. We'll come back to that in a second. It means he would declare truth. He would tell people what is right. He would come with a goal that people would repent of their sins and be saved. That's what the justice he's talking about. The justice of God being satisfied so that people would escape the wrath of God. But Matthew gives us a glimpse into this, saying that his arrival is intended for the Gentiles. But when I say this captures something about Jesus that I want us to think about for a minute. Notice verse 19. He will not, you've read this a million times, have you thought about it? He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Huh? I mean, you got to stop and ponder that. You could read right over it. He will not make a wrangling. He will not be out fighting and disputing. He will not engage in strife. Meaning, his kingdom will not be won that way. Sure, he will tell truth. There will be fights over truth, there's no doubt. That's not what it's saying here. What it's saying here is his whole approach, he will not engage in strife. He is not the one who has made himself great by strife. He is not one who's come and fought that way to bring in the kingdom. Oh, he's no weakling. Before I make sure it's clear here. He's going to bind the strong man. But how? Not the way you think. We live in this masculinity crisis today. Everyone wants a loud, obnoxious, tough guy. I like it. Well, maybe. What we've all been used to and heard from all of our leaders this past year is all of them crying out in the streets, quarreling to bring in their kingdom, making a name for themselves. We're so used to it now, we don't even think anything of it. Speaking of constant greatness, speaking of accomplishment after accomplishment, I will, I will, I will, I will. I'm not making a political statement here, I'm just making the obvious known, right? I get it. Those are earthly kings. I will fix this. Really? You have that kind of sovereignty? Proud leaders parading themselves in the street is all we know. Because we all want relief. This is what the Pharisees wanted from the Messiah. They wanted relief from Roman oppression, the godlessness of the Romans. Matthew says, let me identify your Messiah. Oh, he'll bring forth justice. But let me introduce him as he was prophesied so you can see him as offset from all this and know he's the Messiah. He will not be outfound quarreling. It's describing the boasting that happens among fools. That's what he's describing. It's taken from Ecclesiastes 9:17. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools.
riotous, pompous words that all just gets attraction and causes a stir and people get worked up over. Beloved, here is your Messiah. Meet him. I am gentle and I am meek. I'm humble. I'm not coming to draw all this attention to myself. You almost see in contrast to this what an antichrist would look like, where all the hearts of the people would be given to loud, pompous boasting. How does Matthew say he brings in the kingdom? So beautiful. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. Ah, there's his purpose. Matthew's capturing who he has come for, who his mission is for. Remember, the Pharisees were criticizing him because he's sitting and eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, and they said, a glutton and a drunkard. The Pharisees were saying, is it not lawful? Is it not lawful? Is it not lawful? And he's caring for people. We definitely want relief from earthly burden. I'm thankful for any relief from earthly burden in this life God gives us in our short time under the sun. Aren't you? Of course. I want righteousness to prevail in the land. But many people are more excited today for somebody who will bring us lower bread prices, or stop bad political policy, who can unburden us from earthly cares. Well, we might be unburdened by oppressive political situations in this life. Praise God for that. But where is our happiness? Look at your Messiah. Look at your king, your warrior. A reed is a weak enough, bruised reed is a damaged one. A smoldering wick is one where the light's about out. Jesus just says, I've come for the weak and the helpless, to save them from their sins. That was the very beginning of Matthew. That's why I've come. And what Matthew wants to show you is that he's entirely offset from everything else that we would expect. I've not been able to get these words out of my head since I preached a few weeks ago. I can't get them out. I've been rising almost every day thinking about them. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. The impression of that is, don't look to anyone else. It's me. I give rest. I unburden you. You're exhausted, aren't you? You're at your limits at times, aren't you? You're troubled by sin that no other ruler in this life can deal with. You're burdened by life. You're burdened by death. We're reminded the other night at our meeting with our council at the end of somebody who recently died, who attended this congregation, just died. I didn't know them. But it was a reminder to all of us, we don't know the day nor the hour. It could happen to any of us. At times we feel like giving up. At times we wonder if we're even loved by God. Inwardly we're struggling with failure all the time, dealing with emptiness, loneliness, depression, alienation. Matthew has said, I've come for you, says Jesus. I'm not out making myself great in that way. Overwhelmed in compassion for you, remember, he saw the multitudes of people. And what did he see in the multitudes of people? He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And the whole point of Matthew has been, he's willing to impart help to us, real help that actually helps.
But what's our heart caught up in?
He's willing to give strength to you who are burdened. He saves tax collectors and sinners. As one pastor said, he comforts mourners. He cheers up the fearful. He reassures doubters. He feeds the famished. He gives forgiveness of sins to those who come to him. He leads us in justice to victory, he says. He always leads us in triumph. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ.
And that's what he's doing. And isn't it a marvel? And he says, I'm not just doing this for Israel, I'm doing it for you. You're all Gentiles. You can come up and prove to me you're full-blooded Jewish, great. But we're Gentiles. We have a whole forecasting of the mission of the church throughout this age right here. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to bring forth justice to you. I'm going to deliver you.
Right after quoting this, Matthew says, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed and blind and mute, and he healed him so that he spoke and saw, and the people said, could this be the son of David? And it's a good question. Matthew has taken us further. He is indeed the son of David, according to being born according to the flesh. But Matthew has explained him. He is also the suffering servant of Isaiah. Notice Isaiah 42, what is quoted here is verses 1 through 4. But let me just read a little bit further into Isaiah. He's about to bind the strong man. How does the warrior king bring in the kingdom? How does Psalm 110 come to fulfillment? Here's what God the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release those from the dungeon who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. See, I will not yield my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Well, that's what we're all into, something new, right? A new day. Here it is. Behold, they spring into being. I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. I, the Lord, that's my name. I am the Lord. See, the suffering servant that Matthew has presented is the creator of heaven and earth, the one through whom everything was made, who came to us. And the Lord brought in the kingdom of God in a way that nobody, they should have understood, but expected. The servant of Isaiah 42 is the same servant of Isaiah 53. How did the kingdom come? He bore our sorrows. Yet we considered him punished, stricken by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how the kingdom came in strength,
through the cross. You never choose it. But it had to be done to save you. And Jesus says, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. You understand it? That's where we end today. Those who don't want this kind of Messiah will be offended, and that's what we see in the Gospels. They hate him for what he's doing because he's not bringing in the kingdom the way they want it in. But those who are weary and heavy laden, those who are bruised reeds, those who are smoldering wicks, he'll never despise. What a Savior. What a Savior. You can be sure today, I close with this, you can be sure today that if you've come to him and you believed in him, the only name given by which men may be saved, he will abundantly forgive all your sins. That should be the greatest news to us ever. He is a merciful, he's a sympathetic high priest, king. What a king we have. Who always leads us in triumph, no matter the circumstances of this life. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the deliverance that you've announced through your suffering servant. Thank you in this life that you give leaders and that you give those, O Lord, who bring temporary relief or even in the burdens of this life. And yet, O Lord, above it all are the sovereign decisions of the Lord. And we come to you today, for you will share your glory with no other. You are the Lord. You came to rescue us. Meek, lowly in heart, and as a warrior king who will one day come to judge the living and the dead. May we be believing, and may we come and hear these words, how wonderful they are. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Thank you, O Lord, for such words to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.